right, Genesis chapter 18. Just read a couple verses, and I've been forewarned already that some didn't get their nap, and I'm going to, I'll try to get you out of here on time tonight and get you home so you can get ready for the week. but hopefully you're glad that you've been in church today. Amen. And glad that that you've been able to give praise, honor, and glory to God. chapter 18, verses, let's look at verses 13 and 14. In chapter 18, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall of a surety bear a child which am which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your word, for the encouragement it gives us, Lord, for how it guides us in our daily life. And I just pray, Lord, as we look upon it this evening, that you'll give us something from it that we can use. And Lord, help us to draw closer to you. And Lord, help us to be a better servant and love you more for what you've done for us. And Lord, where you brought us from. Now, God, direct us and give us a good evening. And we'll give you the praise for it. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God told Abraham that in his old age that he would father a son. Sarah heard this and she laughed. And I think probably Abraham had some doubts as well in regard to what God was going to do. but he said there, in verse 14, "And the Lord said, Wherefore did Sarah laugh?" or verse 13, she'll bear a child. And then he said in verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And I guess my thought tonight is there anything that the Lord can't handle? And we've sure been through some trying times over the course of this year already. We're going to go through some more trying times through the course of the rest of the year. And you're going to go through some things that you may have not thought that you'd ever have to go through in the life that you live. But I'm here to tell you tonight that there's not anything that's too hard for the Lord to handle. God told Abraham right here that, you might think that you're not going to be able to bear a child. And Sarah went from the humanly nature that we would think of it, which would be typical. But you're going to be able to do it. And it's through me that you're going to be able to do it. And what I want you to see tonight, and we're going to, you don't have to turn to these scriptures, but I'm going to give you some scriptures, and I want to show you the magnificence of God's power and how limitless that God's power is. It's not limited by anything. Jeremiah 32:17 said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." I don't care what you're facing in life tonight. I don't care what trial that you're going through. I don't care what your health situation is. I don't care what your financial situation is. I don't care about the things that are there that you think that you're not going to be able to overcome. With God's power and through God's power, you can overcome those things that are in your life. God's power is limitless. We got to be able to tap into His power in order to see it. Jeremiah knew that if God had made everything, that He can certainly control the things that He's made. God made everything. We know, we go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, and some people have difficulty believing in miracles in life and that God's hand was in it. But we as Christians tonight, if you believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, then you have no problem with the miracles that are foretold or the miracles that are outlined that move on through the Bible. And it seems that if it doesn't seem that God has worked mightily in your situation tonight, then it's not because He's unable, because there's no promise that's too hard for God to fulfill in your life tonight. And we often don't see it. We limit God in the things that he can do. Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither should the son of man that he should repent. He has said, and he shall he not do it, or hath he spoken, and shall not make it good. God is not going to repent on what he's told you that he would do. That means he's not going to change his mind. Now, when we come to Christ, we're supposed to repent and turn from our sin and turn from our wicked ways. But God is not going to repent from the promises that he made to you. God cannot lie, and he will not lie tonight. And we need to believe in God's word and what he's told us. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. It's totally contrary to God's character to lie and tell a lie. Now, it's contrary to our character to tell something that may not be a truth or tell a lie in something. But God, he will not lie. And we say we believe God's word. We say that we live by the Bible. We say that we want to obey the word of God. Then if you want to do that, then why don't you do that? God is not lied. If he will bless you if you follow the word of God and the things that he has told you in doing that. There's no prayer too hard for God to answer. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We want God to help us in our lives, but how many times have you prayed for that thing in your life? There's no prayer that's too hard for him to answer. And he told the disciples in Matthew 21, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. You got to believe that God's going to answer some of those prayers that you've laid at the altar. Do you believe that God can do that? You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. If you believe that he saved you, then why don't you believe he's going to answer some of those prayers that you put before God? I know Todd's believed in some of those prayers that have been put before God. He's answered those prayers. Tomorrow he's believing that God will deliver him again tomorrow in the test that he has. I'm sure that Benny's laying over in the hospital believing that God's going to deliver him from the things that he's in. We talk about it physically, but we need to believe that God's going to deliver us spiritually as well. We need a spiritual healing more than we need a physical healing in our lives. I know that I need the spiritual aspect of God much more than I do the physical. That's not saying I don't want to be physically healthy. I want to be healthy. I don't want my family to be sick or those that are in my family or the friends that I go to church with and that. But you know what? We need spiritual healing more than we do physical healing, folks. Our nation, we talk about our nation is spiritually sick today, and that's what's wrong with our nation. That's what's wrong with our government. That's what's wrong with our state. That's what's wrong with our the community that we live in. We're spiritually dead. We're spiritually sick to the things that are of God, and we don't walk by the precepts that God has put before us. Anything that we can believe God for, God can do it if we can believe that he can do it. Almighty God is not limited by the circumstances that we're in. And we're sure in some bad circumstances right now. The society that we live in. And, you know, there's nothing that lies beyond the reach of asking God to help us through some of the things that we go through. There's no problem that's too big for God to solve. My God's a big God. And my God can solve some of those problems that are there. He might not solve them the way that I think that he should, but the way that I would want him to do, but he can solve those problems that are there. And we all experience problems, but we have a God who answers by power, by grace, and by love. You know, when God does solve our problem, he may not solve it the way we think that he ought to solve it. You know, sometimes his ways are mysterious. I like the way God does some things sometimes. And the mysteries that are there in the Bible and the things that we see him do. Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God works. works differently than we work. Aren't you glad that he does? Because I tell you right now, most of you wouldn't put me into heaven right now. God says, if you'll believe on my son, Jesus Christ, then I'll give you eternal life. And you know, if I've wronged you in something and done something wrong, I wronged the Lord Jesus Christ before I got saved. But God said, if you call upon my son, I'll let you come to heaven and I'll give you the glories of heaven. I guarantee you, mortal man would not do that for you if you wronged him and did something wrong. We can't even forgive our own brothers and sisters in Christ for some of the things they do to us here on the earth. Thank God that his thoughts are not my thoughts and his ways not my ways. You ought to thank God for some of the scriptures that are there and some of the things that we can read and we can hold on to when it comes to that. God works on a different thought level. Man, I think about some of the things that I told my Sunday school class this morning, the things that I think. You know, I have to get my thought life in tune with God sometimes because, man, my mind wanders. I wander when I'm sitting up here a lot of times and I'm trying to pray. I'm praying for the service. I'm praying for the pastor. I'm praying for the singing. I'm praying. But sometimes my mind will wander and I'm thinking about what's going on beyond the church doors. I'm thinking about what somebody else is doing. And when you're at work or when you're at home and you see things and the devil's trying to captivate your mind the whole time. And that's why you need to stay in that book right there. You need to let the Lord get a hold of your mind and think on the things of God. He said over in Philippians 4:8, when he talks about the peace of God, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things have virtue, he said, think on these things and the God of peace shall be with you. We let our minds wander. We're wandering out there in the world, the things that are of the world. God works on a different time level than we do too. We live in time. God lives in eternity. We live in the time that's here. And, you know, sometimes we get anxious and we want God to solve our problems now. And a lot of us, we live in a society today. We got to have everything now, too. And sometimes it's good to just wait. It's good to be content and learn how to be abased and go through some of the situations that you go through in life. It teaches some character. It gives you some stability in who you are and the person that you are. Many times we try to tell God exactly how to solve the problems, and God does it very differently than we would have. I think of Saul. He was persecuting the early church, and you know, I'm sure many Christians were praying, God, won't you take care of this guy? Take care of this guy. Move him out of the way. Just like many of us pray, move him out of the way. God moved him out of the way, didn't he? God chose to save that one that was persecuting the church and make him probably the greatest Christian that lived in the New Testament times. He chose to save that man. And you know what? We pray, sometimes our prayers, God does it differently than we would. I know what I would have done. Take him out of the way. Remove him. Get him gone. We don't need him. God took that man that was persecuting Christians, the one that sat and watched Stephen die and was consenting unto his death, and he used that man to be the best Christian in New Testament times that wrote 14 books in the New Testament that you read that we say that we live by. That's how God chose to use that man. But we would have prayed a different prayer for that, wouldn't we? And if you say you wouldn't have, you're lying to yourself, and you're probably lying to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know what I would have prayed for that. And God did do something about it. He changed him from Saul to Paul, and we read about that in Acts 8 and 9. You know, when we want God to do something about the evil in the world and the things that are there, we wonder, you know, God could remove the devil anytime he wanted to remove the devil. You know, do you understand that? I can't get my arms around it, really, to be quite honest with you. But he can remove the devil. And but God didn't kill it. He put his son on the cross. He took his only begotten son and put his son on the cross. Why did he do that? Why did he do that for me? Why did he do that for you? I can't understand the depths of that. I don't understand the reasoning that's behind that. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness and being bitten by the poisonous serpents, they asked Moses to pray to the Lord that he might take away the snakes. But what did he do? God had Moses lift up a brazen serpent, and he told him to what? Look at that serpent, and they would live. God took that and used it. God, I wouldn't have done that. I mean, they prayed to God to remove the serpents. But God did it a different way. And I don't understand all that. I know there's a greater purpose behind that. And God did it His way. And thank God that He did do it His way. But do you understand why God allows things in your life to happen in certain ways and instances that God is trying to get the glory out of it? You know, and there's no person that's too hard for God to save. And this is one that's hard for me because I stereotype people sometimes when I'm witnessing to them. And you see that big gruff-looking fellow or that big burly guy that's covered from head to toe in tattoos and got every kind of piercing coming out of him that's here or there. But you know what? There's no person too hard for God to save. And most of the time, those people are the ones that are the most compassionate when we receive something that you got to give them because they're looking for something. They're looking for something. And God's power is limitless in the things that He can do. Anybody who wants to be saved can be saved tonight. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we preach the gospel that we preach. Isaiah 1:8, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white, be as wool. We need to pray for those that are lost. And we need to be bolder in giving the gospel to the people that are out there. God, give me the boldness that I need. That their hearts might be softened by praying for those that need to be saved. Those that are wayward in their walk with Jesus Christ. There's no man, woman, boy, or girl who's too hard for God to save if they'll yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that God's power is limitless. But man's power is limited. Man has a limiting power. If there's nothing too hard for God, if He can solve every problem, He can save every person, then why doesn't it happen? That's the obvious question. Well, then why doesn't it happen? Because men limit God. We limit the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 78:41, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. The word limited in that passage means they horizoned. And I don't know if you, it means they simply said, God can go this far and He can go no further. Well, that's not true. My God can do anything He wants to. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We can do those things and God can do what He wants. They simply said that God can go no further. The chief priests and the elders, they bound Jesus and they led Him away in Matthew 27. Jesus wasn't bound because He was helpless and had no choice in the matter. He allowed Himself to be bound in that. He allowed that to happen. He could have spoken them into oblivion. He could have called for legions of angels to come and save Him. But John 18:6 said, as soon as He had said unto them, I am He, talking that He was Jesus, they went backward and fell to the ground. They knew He had the power in their presence to know what was going on. But the men limited the Lord Jesus Christ. And we limit the Lord's ourselves. And we should examine our lives to see if we're limiting the Lord. You know, there's some chains. Have you ever bound Jesus? You say, I've never bound the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever chained God down? Yeah, we chain some things down to keep them from going and moving around. But there's some chains that we bind God with and limit the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one is unwillingness. You know, God's not going to force Himself upon you. God wants you to love Him for who He is and what He's done for you. You know, I forced myself a little bit on Kim, I guess, when I jumped on the hood of her car when she was going through the parking lot the first night I met her. So I guess you could kind of say I was forcing myself on her just a little bit. But then she realized that, man, I better hang on to this guy. He's willing to go to the ends of the world for me. But God, He's not going to do that. Israel, He said in Matthew 23, He said Israel would have gathered up his hens But they and kept them and brewed them as children. But they ended up rejecting him for who he was. His own rejected him. And man, there's no greater if there's levels of rejection. It's when the ones that are supposed to love you when they reject you at times in life. There's no greater rejection than that. And can you imagine the feeling that he must have felt when his own rejected him? And how we sometimes unwillingly to do what God wants us to do. But there's nothing that's too hard for God, but he will allow us to bind and chain him. We bind and chain him every day in our lives and the things that we do through unwillingness. He said in Matthew chapter 12, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." We cannot be neutral about the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to bless us, but we don't want to do it. We're unwilling. The second thing that we bind him with in our chains is unconcern. You know, some are not necessarily unwilling, but they're just completely indifferent. They're not concerned about anything that's going on. They're not concerned about their fellow brother. They're not concerned about their church. They're not concerned about the little ones that coming in on the buses. They're not concerned about anything that's going on. Just unconcerned about the things that are going on around us. Revelation 3:20. He said that Laodicea, they were what? They were lukewarm. That's unconcerned. When you get lukewarm, you're just unconcerned. You need to check out your walk with the Lord. And I get unconcerned sometimes. You just get bogged down and burdened down with the things of life and the things that are going on, and you have unconcern in your life. And Jesus is standing outside knocking on the door, but you won't open the door and let him in. Jesus is knocking on the door every day, asking to come in. He wants to come in and sup with you. But you're unconcerned about that knock that's at the door and those that are there. And help us not to have an attitude of being unconcerned. Oh, we're just going to go to church tonight. We're going to go to church on Wednesday night. We're going to pray for a bunch of missionaries. Brother Muncie's going to do this and do that. And we're going to talk about this, and we may have a 10-minute lesson. You know, that's unconcern. You're unconcerned about your fellow man. And you need to get concerned about your fellow man, because probably the ones that you're needing to pray for, they prayed for you at some time. You look around, these are the ones that are praying. The ones that are faithful are the ones that are praying for you. Those are the ones you least expected. If you could open it up and see those that are casting the prayers up before the throne of God and making prayer for you tonight, you'd probably be ashamed of the way that you've prayed for them, those that are praying for you. You're supposed to pray for your enemies and pray for those that despitefully use you, those that you think that aren't doing what they should be doing, because those are normally the ones that are doing the most for you and for the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to get some of those things right tonight, not have an attitude of unconcern. Unreasonableness, the next one. Isaiah 1:18, he said, "Come now, let us reason together." You know, God can't work in some lives because some people are just unreasonable. Just unreasonable. You know what I call that? No common sense. Use some common sense in some of the decision making that you make. Have some common sense that is there, and be reasonable. They have prejudice. They have these preconceived notions and ideas about things, and they won't give up their own ideas for God's truth. They've been taught by the secular world that, you know what? You'll give up some of that unreasonableness if you get in this book right here. Because God will show you what you really deserve is hell and an eternal lake of fire. And the reasonableness is that you don't deserve what God's given you. And we think that we're entitled to things. Working in the business that I've worked in all my life, people think that they're entitled to these things. You're not entitled to the pew you sit in. You're not entitled to walk through that door. You're not entitled to the air conditioning that you're getting. You go over in a third world country and go into some of these churches, go into some of these places that these people have to live, they have to worship in. You'd be ashamed to sit where you're sitting right now and gripe and fuss and complain about the things that you've got. The homes, the cars, the clothes, the food, the things that we eat, we gripe and complain. We're unreasonable about what God has given us. We're not thankful. We're an unthankful people tonight, folks. And you got a boy over there in Papua New Guinea up in a mountain somewhere that just flew up somewhere. Thankful to God that he's got a 10 by 10 place to live and be able to go out and hand out some tracts and give it to somebody and bring somebody to church and get them saved. And we gripe and we fuss and we complain. God, forgive us for the attitudes that we have in that. Unreasonable. The fourth is uncleanness. We bind God through our uncleanness in our lives. Sin, it keeps our keeps God from blessing us. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short and that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Unconfessed, unrepented of sin in our lives have kept us from the good things that God wants to give us. He will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart, is what the psalm says. God wants to bless us, but we can't let go of our sin. We won't let go of those things that we like. And boy, they're hard to let go of, aren't they? The sins that we got in our life. The little pet sins that we got. The things that we like to do. The thing, you know, and you don't put them on no scale. We've all got them. And we've all got things that we need to get rid of. There's things that we need to make right with the Lord. But we'd rather bind the hands that want to comfort us, that want to bless us, that want to save and heal, than to give up our sin. The last one is unbelief. I think unbelief more than anything else limits God. Matthew 13, 58, chapter 13, verse 58 says, "Absent, the folks were absent of mighty works because of their unbelief." The Lord Jesus, he gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. He made the lame to leap. He turned the water into wine, but in his own hometown, the place where he returned to Nazareth, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. God wants to work miracles in our lives. God wants to show you his power, but we limit him through our belief, our unbelief in the things that he can do. We don't really believe that God can do it. We don't believe that God can take our church and put our buses out there and grow our church and do the things that we don't believe that he's going to. If we did, we would act different about some of the things that we do. We don't believe that God's going to save somebody out there on the side of the road when we're out there holding a sign up. We don't believe it. And sometimes I don't believe it standing there. God, forgive me for my unbelief. We don't believe that God's going to heal that one that's sick, or God's going to move us in a different direction. Faith is a channel through which the Lord pours out his life into us, but we can tie his hands by unbelief. Faith is the key that causes those shackles to fall off the Lord Jesus Christ. I brought a little illustration tonight. Andrew, you remember that. Little book, Here Comes the Strikeout. I read that book. Too bad it says discard on the back of it. Maybe that was what your mom wrote on the back of it. But anyway, Andrew, when he was, he had a bat in his hand from the time he could walk. Not by me. I didn't put it in his hand. He picked it up. He loved a good bat. And he his mom found that little book. And then from the time he could read, and she did a good job with him in that regard, but from the time he could read and we were lay down and we'd lay in the bed there together and study, and she'd read him that book. And I didn't want my boy to strike out. I'll tell you that right now. I wanted my boy to be the one that got up there and got the hits. And so we lay there, and that little book talks about this boy named Bobby. And Bobby, he could do everything when it came to playing ball. He could go out there, he could field, he could catch, he could throw. He was good. But when he got up to the plate, he couldn't hit the ball. 20 times he went up to bat, struck out all 20 times. Finally, he had a buddy on the team named Willie. Willie took old Bobby out. He went home, and of course his mom patted him on the back, said, "It's all gonna be all right. Bobby, you're gonna be hit one of these days." "Well, no, I ain't gonna be all right, because it ain't going that way." So Willie took him out. He went out for days, and he took him out on the field and showed him how to hit a baseball. And he finally got to the point. He got in a game, one of the games there toward the end, and it's a kid's book. But he was known as Here Comes the Strikeout. He'd get to the end of the book there, and, you know, all the kids, the game's on the line. You all know the ending. It's 3-3. Who comes up to bat? Bobby comes up to bat. Well, Bobby, strike one, strike two, strike three. Bobby hits the ball, wins the game for him, and ends up not becoming the strikeout through hard work and through some labor and somebody else showing some concern and some love for somebody wanting to do it. Now, while that's a kid's book, and my intentions at that point in time were as I didn't want my boy to be the one called, here comes a strikeout. But I'll tell you this, the applications to that are that it takes some hard work to be a Christian. It takes a labor of love and doing some things that are spelled out in this book right here. And I'll tell you something else. It takes you encouraging me to be that person. It takes me encouraging you to be that person. We can learn things from those things that happen in our life. And while this had a significance in my life, there's something that's had a significance in your life. And the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ allowed me to see some of those things. And I don't understand why we don't encourage one another. I don't understand why we do some of the things that we do. But there's nothing too hard for God. His power is limitless. But ours has limits. And we limit God by binding Him up in our lives. You need tonight to search your heart and see where you're at. And don't limit God in your life. Don't chain Him down. Don't bind Him down with the things that are of this world. Let God work through you. And be happy with where you're at. God can bring you through some of the things that you're going through in your life. And I'm sure I'm not going through some of the things that you're going through. And I probably wouldn't be able to deal with some of it. God knows what we can deal with in our lives. And I pray tonight that you'll search your heart and see where you're at. And if you're not saved tonight, I beg of you to search your heart and come down here to this altar and ask God to come into your life and change your life as we stand to our feet.